Have your Bible this morning, turn to the book of Micah. Book of Micah. Micah chapter 6 and verse 1. The Bible says, "Hear ye now what the Lord saith. Arise, contend thou before the mountains, and let the hills hear thy voice. Hear ye, O mountains, the Lord's controversy, and ye strong foundations of the earth, for the Lord hath a controversy with his people, and he will plead with Israel. O my people, what have I done unto thee? And wherein have I wearied thee? Testify against me. For I brought thee up out of the land of Egypt, and redeemed thee out of the house of servants, and I set before thee Moses and Aaron and Miriam. O my people, remember now what Balak king of Moab consulted, and what Balaam the son of Beor answered him from Shittim unto Gilgal, that ye may know the righteousness of the Lord. Wherewith shall I come before the Lord? And bow myself before the high God. Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, or with the 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? But unless this, he has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee? To do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God." If you look at this morning, we see God as he's speaking to the children of Israel. And he might as well be speaking to us this morning, because he is. The Bible's not of any private interpretation, but it's given to me and you and everyone else that will receive it for God's glory. Amen? And we see Micah here. He's telling about the things that's to happen in the future. And in verse 5, we see the future taking place and see how he points us to a Messiah, an arisen Savior, and the God of glory, amen, manifest in the flesh, come down among men, amen, and dwell with men. And praise God, the help that he gives us in the satisfaction of our soul, knowing that there's a price that's been paid, and that our soul has been redeemed even from the pit of hell, amen? And it was done through the Lord Jesus Christ. But Micah brings them to a place here, and Micah was a minor prophet that was during the time of King Ahab and some of the others, ungodly kings. But he rose up here, and he began to minister to the people of Israel and to give them a good word of that what thus saith the word of God. And it began to help their hearts and to point them in the right direction. And we see here, as we come down to chapter 6 in the book of Micah, we see God Almighty speaking personally to his people. I like it when God speaks personally to me. Amen. Glory be God. His people. Amen. I'm one of his, glory to God, and he speaks personally to me. You see, preacher, what you mean God speaks to you in an audible voice? No, he speaks to me through his word. Amen. He gives me that every day that I need and encourages my heart and draws me and woos me unto himself. He's continually drawing me closer to him. And he said, if I'll draw nigh to him, praise God, he's already wanting to draw close to me. Amen. Amen. So we need that relationship. So Micah brings it down here, and he says, he takes them from the future, pointing to the future, and he brings them to the very present in which we live. I believe it'd be good this morning if we could just come to a consciousness of where we live, amen? Just come to a place in our life where we believe and trust in God and realize what he has for us even right now. I think, you know, a lot of times we get the thinking and the focusing on the future, and we miss right now. We miss the here and now, amen? Oh, me, we do, because we're looking. My hope is in the future, Brother Rex. But praise God, my hope is right now in the Lord. It's steadfast and unmovable, praise God. Amen. I have faith in him, brother. No matter what happens in this world, praise God, that God was with me and I'm with him. I'm in him, praise God, and I'm going to persevere through he that's already persevered. Amen. I'm looking for an end result in a little while. Praise the Lord. But he says, but the Lord speaks to him here, and he says, arise and contend thou before the Lord. So what he does here, he says, you know what? He said, just go ahead, rise up and plead your case. Amen. Now, can you imagine standing before a thrice holy God and pleading your case? Amen. But not only before a thrice holy God, but watch what he does. He said, the mountains and the hills hear thy voice. He said, hear ye, O mountains, the Lord's controversy. So he said, okay, Israel, he said, I want you to stand up He could be speaking very well to us today. He said, church, I want you to stand up and contend with us. He said, I want you to stand up and plead your case. I wonder what kind of case we'd have to present before God this morning. But the Bible says here that the Lord has a controversy. I want to preach on this just a little while, on the Lord's controversy. Amen? The Lord's controversy. Now we think of the controversy, and we may think of a dispute. But a dispute is something that's short-lived. It's just like a little oral exchange, and it don't amount to a whole lot. Amen? We have a whole lot of disputes, don't we? We have a lot of disputes, and if we ever can, we have even a whole lot of disputes in the house of God. Amen? We have a whole lot of disputes with the world and with family and friends. We have a lot of disputes, little oral communication that's short-lived. But God says, I've got a controversy with the people. God said, God might speak to us today. He said, I've got a controversy with you. Amen. This controversy, that's something that's continuing. Amen. It's something that may be even written down or maybe even put on into a law that'll go for months and even years. In other words, God says, you know what? He said, you plead your case. He said, I've got a controversy with you. He said, I've got it up here before you. I'm putting it down in black and white. Praise God, putting it down so you can see it. Praise God, that I have a controversy with you. Amen. God has a controversy with us. He said, and the Lord hath a controversy with his people, and he will plead with Israel. Amen. So he said, I've got a controversy. I'm going to put it here. I'm going to show you what I expect. And he said, you show me how you're going to come in line with what I expect. Amen? He said, just plead your case. And said, you can explain to me, try to explain to me why you can't do that. Amen? Now, he's speaking to an almighty God, a God of majesty. Amen? A God of magnificence, an all-powerful and an all-knowing God is speaking to him. But I like here in verse 3, he begins to speak to them, and he says, oh, my people. He's talking in that covenant love that he has with them. Even though they're not lining up, he said, you know what? He said, I've got a controversy with you. You're not lined up. He said, but I want to line you up. Amen. So he begins to speak to them in his word, and he begins, as they begin to build their case, he begins to ask them some questions. Notice what he asked. He said, what have I done unto thee? Now what God is asking him here, he said, what have I done wrong? How have I wronged you? Oh me. And God, he said, I've got a controversy. He said, you're withstanding me. He said, you're pushing me away. You're denying and you reject me. You're not letting me help you. He said, explain to me what I've done to you. He said, explain to me how I've wronged you. He said, explain to me, in which way have I wronged you? Amen. He said, what have I done to you to hurt you? What have I done to you to confuse you? What have I done to you so that you might push me away and reject me? He said, show me which method of love I've been bestowing upon you that's hurt you, that you think is wrong. Amen. If we ever care, praise God, God says, how have I wronged you? I want to ask you a question. How's God wronged you this morning? What has God done wrong for you? Amen. How has God mistreated you? Now hey, listen. I know the world has. I know people have. I know people despitefully use. They put us down. They ridicule. They treat us bad. The world that we live in, it's sin-cursed. Amen. It's vile and wicked as can be. But how has God mistreated you? How has God done you wrong this morning? Amen? Huh? Ask ourselves, what has God done to us that's so wrong that we can't serve Him and love Him and just accept Him for who He is? Amen. And then he asked another question. Not only how I wronged you, he said, but how have I wearied you? Now listen. He said, how have I wearied you? Amen? He said, God, in essence, he said, I've got a controversy. He said, how have I wronged you? But he said, how have I, he said, God says, how have I been a burden to you? He said, what kind of burden have I put on you? I know what most people, most Baptists say, well, preacher, I have to get up and go to church on Sunday, and I have to try to serve the Lord and have to try to live right. And have to. He said, "What a burden." He said, "How have I burdened you?" He said, "I'm at." He said, "Glory to God, I'm at ever present help to keep you through those burdens." He said, "How have I wearied you anyway?" He said, "I ain't ever done that, but been there to be a help to you." See, what's wrong with us is the God's controversy is, he said, "You're trying to do all this stuff by yourself, and I'm here to do it for you. I'm here to be your God and your Lord to lift you up and encourage you and keep you going in the right direction." He said, "How has that been a burden to you? How is that wrong?" He said, "How's it wrong for me to love you, Brother Jeff, like I love you? How is it wrong? How is it burdensome that you all you have to do is accept the death, the burial, and the resurrection of my dear son to be saved?" He said, "How is that burdensome?" He said, "How does that weary you?" Amen. So who did? He said, "I've got a controversy with you." So the magnificent God of glory in all of His majesty. He said, "How have I burdened you?" The angels of glory, the archangels of glory, the seraphims and the cherubims, they're praising and magnifying God. He said, "It's not a burden to them." Amen. Hey, listen, it oughtn't to be a burden to us to serve the Lord. It oughtn't to be a burden to us to lift Him up and magnify His blessed name, praise God. You know what? If we ain't very careful, why all the hosts of heavens are magnifying glory to God? We sit around and yawn in the face of God. Amen. We're bored by the things of God. Oh me. Amen. Well, they just ain't enough entertainment in it for me. Amen. He said, "Have I been a burden? Have I wearied you?" Praise God. Said, "Lord, just get in and shout the praises." Amen. But we come along with our puny little business matters and our pitiful little pleasures that we have in this world. Amen. Did you hear what I said? Our puny little business matters and our pitiful little pleasures that we pet and we pamper and we say, "You know what, God, these things are so important to me." Amen. That God has become a burden in our lives. It's like God is wronging us to expect us to just love Him as much as He loves us. Amen. And if we ain't careful, this old flesh will rise up. Amen. This old flesh will rise up and it'll become a burden to serve the Lord. It'll become a hardship to try to do right and live right. And what do you mean, preacher? I'm saying just trust in the Lord. Amen. It'll become a burden to our heart to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's our faith, praise God, that makes us whole. It's our faith, praise God, that gives us pleasure in worshiping the Lord. Because we believe that He is, and He's Redeemer of all those who are righteous, praise God. Lifting us up, praise God, above ourselves and the turmoil of this world. Setting our feet upon a solid path, praise God, that leads to glory one day. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's about what God's done for us. Amen. He said, "Hey, listen, how have I wronged you? How have I been a burden to you?" Hey, he said, "What have I done wrong? What have I done to you?" Amen. In Jeremiah chapter 2, in verse 5, the Bible speaks of that burden that God had, that they were going through. Amen. Let me just read that to you. Chapter 2 and verse 5. He said, "Thus saith the Lord, what iniquity have your fathers found in me, that they are gone far from me, and have walked after vanity and are become vain?" He said, "What iniquity?" He said, "What's wrong with me?" I mean, I want to ask you a question this morning. What's wrong with God? Huh? I'm asking you, what's wrong with God? There's absolutely nothing wrong with God. God is perfect in every essence and everything about Him, praise God, is perfect. Amen. He's 100% God and 100% perfect God. Amen. Even to us were today. Praise the Lord. But He asked me, He said, "How have I wronged you? How have I been a burden to you? How's God been a burden to you today?" He's got a controversy in this. He's got questions. He needs answered. How have I been a burden? He goes on in verses 3 and 4. And in verse 4 he says, "I brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." Amen. Hey, you remember when you was lost? You remember when you was down there in that bitter bondage of sin? Amen. You know what's wrong with most of us? God came to deliver us out of that mess. Amen. He came to deliver us out of our sinfulness, praise God. He put our feet upon a solid foundation, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jeremiah said, I was in that horrible pit, praise God, in the murk, in the mire, but praise God, God brought me up. Then out, praise God. Glory be to God. He lifted me up out, got my feet out of the mire, praise God, and it set me aside for His glory. Amen. Brought us, hey, do you remember where you were at when Jesus saved you? You remember when you was in bitter bondage to sin? Maybe you still are. Amen. Maybe we're still under that bondage, but still under that taskmaster. Maybe he's still the one that's a driving. Maybe it's still that sin. Maybe say some little old something in our lives, praise God, that's a crack in the whip on our lives. Amen. God said, I've got a controversy with that. He said, I come to deliver you. He said, if I come to deliver you, I'll deliver you completely, praise God. I'll bring you out of the bondage of this world. Praise the Lord. Ain't you glad for that? Amen. Glory be, lift you up and bring you out. See, I don't think God save you and leave you dangling out over your sin. Amen. I don't believe God will raise you up and leave you hanging out over the pit where you have to worry about falling all the time. Amen. God said, I've got a controversy against that. I'm a great and a mighty God. Praise God, and I brought you out of bondage. Praise God. You know, a preacher, he brought us out of bondage. He brought them out of Egypt. Yeah, he did, but he said he also and redeemed thee out of the house of servants. Amen. He said, God said, I've got a controversy the way you're thinking. He said, you think if I bring you up, praise God, I can't bring you out. Amen. We need to get the mindset, church, praise God, that God brings us up out of the pit of hell, praise God, and saves us. Glory be to God, destines us for glory. We're destined to a better place, praise God. It's just right over yonder. Amen. We just keep pressing for the mark of the high calling, praise the Lord. One day when He swoops us out of here to be with Him forevermore. He said, I came and I delivered you out of bondage, praise God, and I redeemed you, praise God, from sin. He said, I sent a Redeemer, which is Christ Jesus the Lord, to save you from your sin. You know what's wrong with most people today? Amen, we know it. Brother David was talking about this morning, James. He said, we've got a head knowledge, but not according to faith. Amen. We don't have a heart knowledge. Our heart's still cold and indifferent, praise God. It's still an old stony heart, and God can't cultivate it. Amen. He'd ask God to forgive it. He said, I've got a controversy against that. He said, you need a good, tender heart, a heart of love, a heart of compassion. The kind of heart that God said about David, a man after my own heart. Amen. Had a tender heart of compassion, tender heart of love. Praise the Lord. Willing to reach down. But He said, I brought you up out of Egypt. So I delivered you out of, I redeemed you out of bondage. Amen. He said, I performed that act of redemption for you. Amen. I set before thee Moses and Aaron and Miriam. He said, I even put people out there for you to follow. Amen. I filled them with the Holy Ghost, God, so that you could follow them. They'd lead you in the right direction. Amen. You know what's wrong with most of us? We don't like to get around good, godly people. Amen. I tell you what, brother and sister Christ, we ought to love to be around God's people. It ought to excite us, amen, to go to the house of God. But God said, I've got a controversy against that. Amen. If I love you, I brought you out, I redeemed you, praise God. You ought to be wanting to get to ready and praise God again for it. Lifting Him up and magnifying His blessed name. Thank Him for all He's done. You know what He said in verse 5? He brings it back to the people. Now, speaking this covenant of love again. Now, God's always represented in His love. Amen. For them and for us. He said, oh, my people. Amen. He calls them His. He said, remember how Balak, king of Moab, consulted with Balaam, the son of Beor. Answered him with from Shechem to Gilgal, that ye may know the righteousness of the Lord. Balak said, hey, Balaam. He said, I'll give you money. He said, I want you to come over here and curse this people, Israel. So I want you to come over here and curse these people. He said, they're way too many for me to handle. But I want you to come curse them before your God. After Balaam had got through, old Balak looked at him. He said, Balaam, what have you done to me? I got you up here to curse these people. And said, you've altogether blessed them these three times. Balaam said, hey, listen, this thing ain't in my hand. God's pouring out the blessing, and I can't help what He's doing. Amen. God said, I've got a controversy with people that won't trust in my name, praise God. I've got blessings to bestow, and it seems like they don't want them. Amen. Praise the Lord. I tell you what, you don't want yours, just pray God to give them to me. Amen. You know, a preacher, that's pretty greedy. Pray God, I want all I can get. Amen. So I can go out and pass it out to someone else. Praise the Lord. Amen. God said, I got a controversy. Have I done you wrong? Have I been a burden to you? He said, I bless you. I lift you up. I brought you out, man. He said, I put you in places and I bless you in those places. Let me ask you a question. Well, how many of you are blessed? Glory to God, we're everyone blessed. Amen. Like him young and seen, got a roof over our head, shoes on our feet, food on our table. We're blessed. And it's all from God. Amen. He deserves all the glory. But now the prophet comes down in verse 6 and this prophet approaches before God. And you know, we ought to approach God. Instead of running away from him, we ought to run to him. Amen. Praise God. He's got help to pass out in a liberal fashion. And praise God, we ought to get to where the help is. Amen. Forget about self and selfishness. Amen. And just seek the Lord while he may be found. Amen. Seek him while he may be found. Did you hear that? Seek him while he may be found in your life. Amen. He says, wherefore, or wherewith shall I come before the Lord? He said, how can I come before you? I believe old Mike, he realized that. The sinfulness of that nature and the sinfulness even of himself. Amen. That's how we come before the Lord, when we recognize our own sinfulness. Amen. We're just an old vile, wicked sinner needing of a Savior. Amen. But Jesus came to seek and to save that was lost. Thank God that He did. Amen. He said, and bow myself before a high God. Shall I come before Him with burnt offerings of cash of a year old? He said, what can I bring for the Lord? Said, what can I have to give to him? Amen. He goes on in verse 7. He said, will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, my rebellion? Amen. Do you hear him? Should I give my firstborn? He's speaking of those fires of Molech that they would burn continuously in the valley of Himnon. Amen. They'd offer up their children and their family and their people, praise God, before the fire god of Molech. He said, do I need to give all I got, even to the very fruits of my body? He said, do I need to give that up? Do I need to offer that to God? What can I do? God's got a controversy with me. He said, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul. He said, what do I have to give to an almighty God? What can I give? Amen. He said, he's asking the question here. He said, is God's salvation for sale? Amen. Is God's salvation for sale? Is God's salvation for sale this morning? Can you buy it with a price? No, sir. Can't be bought with a price. Praise God. It's free to all those coming in. He answers a question here. Verse 8. Well, this is where the rubber meets the road. He said, He hath showed thee, O man, what is good. So Micah asked the question. God's got this controversy. What do I do about it? And said, he's answered you those things, O thou man. He said, God tells you what's good. Now watch this. He said, God tells you what good. And what doth the Lord require of thee? So he said, he tells you what's good and he tells you what's required. Ain't you glad he does? Amen. God don't leave you in the dark trying to figure it out for yourself. He teaches you. He shows you what's good, which is Jesus Christ the Lord. And he shows you, praise God, the way to that goodness. Amen. He points you right to it. And praise the Lord. He said, what the Lord requires of thee. Now notice what he says. Number one, he says to do justly. Amen. In other words, to live a life in transparent honesty. Amen. Oh me. He says to do justly. He said live a life in absolute transparent honesty. You know where transparent honesty has to start out? Hello? Now listen to me a minute. Pay attention. Transparent honesty has to start with self. Amen. Transparent. Now see, we can look at our neighbor, we can look at our wife, our children, our mamas, our daddies, our kinfolk, our neighbors, pray. But I want to say, transparent honesty has to start with me. I have to be transparent and honest with myself. He said, do just. Amen. He said, I have to look at myself and say, Lord, what about me? Amen. Praise the Lord. And then when I get me fixed, Brother Bill, then I can help somebody else. I'm thinking that the church has got things messed up because we're trying to reach out here and fix other people and we ain't right ourselves. Amen. We've got that head knowledge. We know who God is. James said the demons of hell know who He is and tremble, but they ain't saved. I believe we got a head knowledge. We know who He is, but we ain't got heart knowledge. Amen. That transparency not there. That transparency we need, amen, to come humbly before God and realize who we are. Amen. He said we need to do justly, have a transparent honesty. Amen. That honesty that we have between us and God. Let me ask you a question this morning. Transparent. Be transparent. How's your relationship with God? You say, well, preacher, it's pretty good. Pretty good. Well, it's pretty good. Our relationship with God ought to be the greatest thing on earth. Amen. How's our prayer life? Oh, me. Oh, me, Lord. I knew that preacher was going to go there. Huh? See, that's how we get transparent with God. We come before Him, amen. We come before Him and we say, oh God, examine me, show me where I need to be. Amen. And then help me to get there, Lord. Amen. Help me to get there. That transparent honesty that we need with the Lord. Amen. To do justly. And then He says to love mercy. Amen. So He said we get that transparent honesty. He said then we're merciful. Amen. That changes our attitude towards us. And it changes our attitude. But we realize that we're just old sinners and that we got a great big Savior. Amen. That He's making intercession for us day by day, strengthening our heart, lifting us up. Praise God for His glory. So then He helps us to show mercy to others. See, when we become merciful, we want to show mercy to others. We want to encourage them and lift them up. Amen. Realize that we don't know what brought them to the place and we don't know what's driving them down, but praise God, we know a God that can lift them up. Amen. Amen. And because we've searched our own heart and been honest with our own self, praise God, we can show mercy to others. We've got, every one of us in here has got loved ones that's lost on our way to a devil's hell. We've got brothers, got sisters, mamas, daddies, children that's doomed and down for hell without God. If somebody don't get a hold of God on their behalf, somebody don't show some mercy, some compassion for these loved ones. God said, I've got a controversy against that. He said, because I give you peace and joy and happiness, I give you all that you need, praise God, to go around lifting folks up. And if we ain't very careful, we get caught up in this flesh and we go around pushing people down. I like what Brother Mitchell said the other day, praise God. He said, the Holy Ghost of God, He moves into your heart and He seals, takes up His spot. Amen. In other words, He ropes Him off a big place inside you. He circles it off, praise God. And the Holy Ghost of God said, this is mine, amen, the very soul of man. But if we ain't careful, that old flesh, it's all around that. It'll rise up and it'll ridicule and put down and discourage. Amen. But what we need to do, praise God, He said, I've got a controversy with that. He said, praise God, you need to let the Holy Ghost of God, let it outside the bubble, praise God, let it just fill you enough, overflow. He said, in Ephesians 5 and 18, He said, not be drunk with wine, where it's in excess, but be filled with the Spirit of God. Amen. Let it radiate. Let it have abundance in your heart. Let it get bigger and bigger and bigger day by day. We're praying, oh God, help me that the Spirit of God would be released in my soul for your glory. Amen. Praise the Lord. I preached here last Sunday night, I believe it was, about our hindrance to prayer. And the reason we can't pray and get a hold of God is because we pray selfishly. To consume it, but James says to consume it upon our own lust. Amen. When everything that we pray for to be for God's glory. Amen. Lord, save my children. Amen. Put them in a place so you can get glory out of their lives. Amen. Praise the Lord. Transparently before the Lord. Merciful before God. And then He said to walk humbly, number three, with thy God. Now notice this. I love this. Why about having me a spell? I got to hold this the other day, Brother Kim. And He said, walk humbly. God did. He didn't say walk behind me. And He definitely didn't say go in front of me. But He said walk humbly.
with God. Amen. He said, hey, listen. He said, God said, you know what? I've got a controversy. He said, I want to walk with you, but you won't walk with me. The Bible said, amen, that Enoch walked with God. Amen. When Enoch, hey, they was generation after generation that forgot God, but old Enoch rose up and he began to remember God. He began to walk with God. And the Bible said he was not, for God took him. Amen. Amen. Glory be to God. Ah, he was walking with God. Amen. And one day God said, Enoch, glory be to God. I like having you with me. I like walking with you. Let's just go to the house. Amen. And the next step, glory be to God, brother Dean, the next step they took, old Enoch was in glory. Can you imagine that? I mean, walking down the streets of Jerusalem, maybe walking through the shores of Gamon, wherever they was walking with God. Amen, that next step he took, praise God, he was in glory. Now I want to say, if you're a child of God today, the next step we take, praise God, it may be in glory. God said, I've got a controversy, people that don't believe, amen, that I've got a plan and a place prepared. Amen. Praise God, he said, but if those will come humbly before me, they'll walk humbly with me. He said, I'll lead them along. He said, hey, listen, he said, how do you fix this? Micah says, Lord, how do we fix it? How do we get back where we need to go? He said, we need to just realize that God wants an honest heart. He wants us to be merciful to others. He wants us to come humbly and walk with Him. And God says, I'll do the rest. Let me say, there's a penalty if we don't. See, God's a pleading His cause here. Amen. He pleads His case. He asks you to plead His case. He pleads His cause. But He says, I won't plead the effect. He said, there's an effect if you don't. He said, if you don't get back, if we don't walk with God, if we don't trust the Lord, He said, there's an effect to that. Number one, He says, it'll affect your wealth. Verse 11. Amen. The balance of the weights, the wealth. Amen. The what you need to have. He said, it'll affect the weight. It'll affect your wealth. Amen. When we don't walk with God. I want to say God's got a wealth of spiritual blessings that He wants to pour out upon us. Amen. But if we ain't very careful, the way we see ourselves and the way we treat others and the way we walk humbly with God, it'll affect us. It'll affect our wealth. Amen. Verse 11 and verse 13. Now watch this. He said it'll affect your health. Amen. Not only will it affect your wealth, but it'll affect your health. He said, there also will I make thee sick in smiting thee, in making thee desolate because of thy sins. Amen. He said, hey, the effect of not going to God, the controversy that He has is because we're not trusting Him and loving Him and following Him, and we're not being honest with ourselves, merciful to others, and walking humbly with God. He said, the effect is, He said, you won't have the wealth of God. He said, you will be sick in your sins. You'll be sin sick. Amen. It was on verse 14, He said, you'll lose your hope. The effect of your hope. Amen. I want to ask you a question. What kind of hope do you have? You say, well, preacher, I've got hope. I hope I'm better. I hope I'm okay tomorrow. I hope I can get up out of bed. And I hope I can go to work. And I hope I can make some money. I hope I can feed my children. I hope I can. But our hope ain't in the world. It's in God Almighty. He said, if we ain't careful, he said, I've got a controversy. You've got your hope in the wrong place. It's affecting your wealth. He said, it's affecting your health. He said, it's affecting your hope. But he says also, verse 15, he said, it's affecting your harvest. Amen. He said, controversy. He said, it's affecting your health, your wealth, and your health. And your. He said, your hope. He said, it's affecting your harvest. He said, souls is not being saved. He said, folks is not coming to me. Amen. He said, folks is being driven away. Jesus said, if we're not gathering in, He said, if we're not gathering in constantly, consistently, He said, then we're scattering abroad. Amen. God said, I've got a controversy with that. So I've got a controversy with that. If we ain't trying to gather in and get closer to God and closer to each other every day of our life, God said, I've got a controversy against that. He said, I'm putting it in the books. He said, we're going to discuss this a while. Maybe months or years to the end of your days. He says, because that ain't right. Amen. I've got a controversy against that.
Because not only is it affecting your wealth and your health and your hope, but he said, praise God, it's affecting my harvest. Amen. He said, it's affecting my harvest. These souls all around us today. Amen. These little old youngins that's watching us. These people in our families that's watching us. There's people in our workplaces that's watching us. And he said, if we ain't got our hope and our faith, if we ain't looked at ourselves, if we ain't walking with God, if we ain't merciful for God, he said, then we're scattered abroad. We're running people away. Amen. Listen, church, we ought to be gathering folks in. We ought to be loving them in so many ways. Listen, Stony Fort Baptist Church, if we ain't loving everybody that comes that door so many different ways that they got to like one of them, then we're out of the will of God. Amen. I don't care who they are. You know, God, let me just say this. God puts people sometimes in our midst just as a test. Amen. Just as a test. Everybody that comes to the door, we ain't going to agree with them. But praise God, the Bible says we're supposed to love them. Amen. And who knows, we might just love them in. Amen. Because then God can change them. Praise God. It ain't our job to change them. Amen. It ain't our job to mold them and make them. Praise God. It's our job, God says, to judge ourselves, to be merciful, and to walk humbly with God. So Pastor Jeff, what are you trying to say? I want you to say, you never know where a man's been. You walk a mile in his shoes. Amen. We don't know where that old sinner, we don't know where he's been, we don't know where he needs to go, but God does. But if we love him, we show him, now he may not like it. Amen. He may not like it. The Word of God may prick his heart, but that's what it's supposed to do. Amen. But we ought to love him, praise God, show him the love of God while he's here. You know where that starts? That starts with me and you loving each other. Amen. The Bible says we know we're saved because we love the brethren. Amen. If we've got aughts in our hearts against a brother, God says, I've got a controversy with that. I've got a controversy. That's something's wrong. We need to keep looking at this. We need to keep discussing this. We need to bring this to the forefront because something's wrong. God says, it's going to affect your wealth. He said, it's going to affect your health. He said, it's going to affect your hope. And he said, it's affecting my harvest. God says, I don't want nobody to affect my harvest. He said, God said, you know what he said? He looked out on us. Brother John, he said, I've got a harvest, and I've got whosoever will. He said, I want them all to get in. And he said, I don't want nobody to hinder that harvest. Amen. He said, I want them, everyone, to get in. Brother Dean, he said, I want them all to get in. No matter what they've done or where they've been. Praise God, he said, I want to see them get in. Amen. God said, I've got a controversy. I want to ask a question this morning. Has God got a controversy with you? Amen. Has God got a controversy with you? What has God done wrong? How's God wearied you? Let me ask you a question. I want you to think about this. How has God wearied you? How's God been a burden on your life? Huh? Has God been a burden on your life? You say, well, preacher, yeah, you know, I got to get up and go to church. No, you don't. We come to church because we love God. And we love God's people. We want to be here. Amen. It's not a burden. God hasn't done anything to hurt us. God doesn't do anything to burden us. Everything that we do, praise God, should be a joy for His glory. Amen. Just lifting Him up and praising Him and thanking Him for every day that we have. Amen. See, if we ain't careful, we become a burden to ourselves. But God says, I've got a controversy even with that. He says, I don't want you to be a burden in yourself. He says, I want you to rejoice in your soul. He said, because this is the day the Lord's made. Just rejoice. Be glad in it. Amen. Are you rejoicing day by day in the Lord? Because God says, I've got a controversy. I've got a controversy. Amen. But He said, I don't want you to be a controversial people. He said, I want you to be a blessed people. He said, I just want to pour out my blessings on and help you. And He said, it starts with being honest with ourselves. Being merciful in our actions and coming humbly and walking humbly with the Lord. You know what? As you stand with me, I want to say this. To walk humbly with the Lord is to recognize Him every day as God Almighty and the Lord of your life. Amen.